So back in August, we took a survey, if you remember. Most of you, I think, yeah, most of you remember that we took a survey. Actually had a remarkable amount of participation in that survey relative to our congregation size, particularly relative to the adult congregation size. At that time, which is around, I think, 110 folks, something like that, we had 60 people respond to that survey. Why did we take a survey, though? Isn't that an odd thing to do? Well, first of all, we believe that the body of Christ are people that are indwelt by the Spirit, that they have discernment, that in virtue of being indwelt by the Spirit of God, that you can be, in fact, spiritually minded, that the spiritual things are not just for the professionals or the elders or something like that. Secondly, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe in the priesthood of all believers, that you can go directly to God without any sort of intermediate go-between, and you can seek wisdom and prayer in the Scripture, and that the Lord speaks. And finally, Ben mentioned this earlier, that there is in fact safety in a multitude of counselors, and there are always great ideas and insights in the congregation. And so one danger is to have a small group of people who kind of have control the knowledge, and no one ever gets a peek inside the curtain. And this is an attempt, not that that's what was going on at all, I just want to make it very clear, but this is to say, hey, listen, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to consider it. We want to find comfort in a multitude of counselors that are indwelt by the Spirit and that are a kingdom of priests, 1 Peter says, and then move forward in light of those things. I want to just clarify that none of this represents like we have the target was this and we moved the target over here and now we're going towards a different target. It's like there's a big lens and we're focusing down on specific things. Not things that anyone, as Stephen presented in the core values, kicked that off last Sunday, not things that anyone disagree with. Does anyone disagree that we should be making and maturing disciples of Jesus? If you do, this probably isn't a good fit for you. I mean, we want to be about making and maturing disciples of Jesus. So we're not shifting directions or something like that. We are instead zooming in on specific things and focusing on doing certain things well and moving forward in concrete ways. So thank you if you responded to this survey, interacted with it. Again, there's about 60 people, a combination of named and unnamed. Every single response was read by every single elder and myself. Okay, which leads me to this. Why are we presenting this feedback? The first is, so that it's clear that we read all the replies, asking you to take the time to craft them. Okay, I mean, you're going to see some of the things that some of your feedback in terms of the strengths and the opportunities that our church has to move forward. You're going to see that reflected in this presentation. Second, to justify the usefulness or effectiveness as a survey, as an evaluation and communication tool. The reality is it's much more efficient, it was much more effective to do something like this than have an individual conversation with every single person in the church, because we could harvest some of the same, if not similar insight, and go ahead and put action plans and steps to actually move forward in some of these key areas, okay? Third, to make clear that the feedback was not just acknowledged, but taken seriously by presenting a sketch for moving forward in multiple areas. So it's not just going to be, here's what it said, let's pray. It's here's what was said, here's what the emphases were, here's what the focuses were, and here's a sketch, here's a charcoal sketch. We are intentionally not going to lay out every single detail about how to move forward, because there is very few ways that you can lose buy-in and lose leader credibility as a leader by saying you're going to do things that you don't go do, right? We're going to do all these great ideas and they don't get done. So want to be cautious about presenting this is what we're going to do and this is who's doing it and this is when we're doing it, because if we're going to say that, it's going to happen. So we want to present the sketches of things moving forward. Before that, I don't even know that I will get to the strengths. This will be a preface, and then next time we come back together, we'll probably go through the strengths and opportunities. So this will be just kind of a prefacing because I only have 5 minutes. What about my feedback? You see my as in italics there, okay? This always happens when you do a survey of any kind, so I want to get in front of this before it even happens. We will not be able ever to implement all of the feedback. Ever. We could be implementing the feedback that we got from just one survey for 10 years, and we could never implement all of it, okay? So please be realistic in your understanding of what it's possible to actually do. We don't want to be focused on so many things that we don't do anything well, right? I would rather do a few things really, really well than be so spread thin and be lukewarm in a whole bunch of different areas, okay? First. Second, the feedback that we implement will not be implemented perfectly to everyone's liking. Is that a shocker? Shouldn't be, right? So we will implement feedback. And is it going to be, for some people will be like, this is perfect. Other people will be like, this is good, but I wish they would do it this way. And I hope a very small percentage of people will be like, ugh, this is lame. Okay, I hope that's not you. We don't anticipate it being that way. And all of the things that we would be suggesting have been things that we didn't just sit under a tree with our Bibles and make this stuff up. Okay? We have begged, borrowed, and stealed from people who have done this a lot better than us. So we are not just making this stuff up as we go. I personally, since I've come on board, I think I shared this with Stephen, have read thousands of pages on just some of these things to craft this. We've talked with pastors of other churches. We've been on conference calls with them. We've worked with consultants. We have really tried to look at everything that is available and the best solutions for some of these things as we move forward. So we're going to implement it, but I promise, just as the nature, human nature, our nature, your nature, it will not be implemented perfectly to everyone's liking. Third, the changes will take time. Anything that you implement, anything that you focus in on, in a church, it's more like steering a battleship and not a jet ski. Okay? If all of a sudden you show up, you say, all right, we're going to do this, people are like, oh, and freak out. It looks like things are being done hastily without consideration. If you do it hastily, you don't have time to receive feedback on is this working? Are people benefiting from this? Are people growing from this? So it's not going to be something that is a quick fix, not a quick fix or a program. We're not opposed to programs necessarily, because you can call, what is a program? It's certain people doing certain things at certain places with certain curriculum at certain times. That's what we do in our Sunday school classes. Now, we don't call it a program, but that's basically what it is. I mean, it's who's gonna get what done and how are they gonna do it? It's not going to be quick, though. We would rather we'd be very careful and meticulous, methodical about these changes, get feedback along the way as we go. We're not committing to these and saying, everybody get on board or get off board. It's, hey, can this be a continued conversation? Can we course correct along the way if something needs to be improved, something like that? We can't begin to implement all the changes simultaneously. So what's really key here is prioritization. Okay? You're going to see that there is some feedback that was given that was acknowledged. It was considered, and then it was held up against these other areas of feedback. And when you put them on the scale of which ones are really the most important to press forward into first, because you got to start somewhere if you're not going to do them all at once, which you can't. So, and some of the things ended up lower on the scale in terms of priority and in terms of importance than other things, right? So, for example, the opportunity to create a culture of discipleship. That was one of the number one opportunities that we heard on the feedback that we'll get to next week. We want to be making disciples. We want a culture of discipleship in this church instead of primarily the pulpit-heavy teaching ministry. We're not doing away with that. We're adding to it, parallel, something right next to it. This isn't going down. This is going up. Okay, that's the idea. But we can't begin to implement all the changes simultaneously. So if you say, well, this isn't a first level action item that they're implementing, well, just hold on. Okay, we have some first tier things, then there are second tier things, and then there are third tier things, and then there are things about, you know, the building and the this and that that are important, but they're not as important. Does that make sense? Okay. And then finally, just because your feedback is not a top-of-list action item does not mean that it was not, one, thoughtfully considered, or doesn't inform how we plan to implement other related changes. Okay? So I touched on this briefly in that last point, but all of these were thoughtfully considered. All of these were read. All of these were acknowledged. All of these were prayed over, really. The whole survey was prayed over in terms of giving eyes to hear and hearts to really listen to the church. But just because when we present some of these things, these focuses and the sketch forward, just because your feedback does not pop up here, it doesn't mean that what you said didn't inform how we're going to do that thing. Okay? It doesn't. If you said something about the fellowship meal, I can tell you right now, that is not a top of the list action item. Okay? However, that doesn't mean that considerations about the fellowship meal will not be integrated into what we are in fact trying to do. Okay, so it may not be a separate full thing, but it doesn't mean that it's completely unrelated. Okay, so we're at time here. Yes. Okay. Sure. So here is the strengths of RBC Nashville, according to the people of RBC Nashville. Number one, by far, over the years, has been, can you read these numbers? I don't know. Anyways, has been the preaching and teaching. So out of about 60 people, 51 people specifically commented on the preaching and the teaching ministry of the church as either why they ended up here, why they stay here, their favorite part about it, etc., etc. That's great. We aren't going to move away from that at all. That's bread and butter right there. Okay, we're going to get better at our strengths, but we're going to spend most of our time working on opportunities that we actually can improve. Skipping over to that third column, the culture of loving care. So this would be something like, I came in and it was just a family feel. It was community. People cared about me. I couldn't get in without someone asking or saying, hey, glad to see you. What's your name? I couldn't make it past David Elkins. People accepted me here. People wanted me to be here. They invited me into their home. They invited me into their community group. They talked to me here and there. So that was the second largest strength of our church. Now I want to make a quick comment before I talk about community groups and the shepherding pastoral care. When the numbers drop, compared to those two columns, it looks like, oh my goodness, 14 people. But just you have to remember, number one, these things were specifically mentioned and were unprompted. That's significant. It wasn't a leading question. It was an open-ended question where these things were specifically mentioned. In a sample size or a poll size of 60 people, 14 is statistically significant, isn't it? That is a statistically significant, that's almost 25%, right? So 14 is still a lot. It's not like, oh, well, no one cared about community. No, that's very, very, very significant and is indicative of if we were to scale that out to everyone else in the church, that would go up numerically. So the shepherding and the pastoral care was 15. The community groups was 14. So shepherding and pastoral care is not to be confused with just oversights, even though it included that, but really just we had people talk about the willingness of the leadership to be transparent, the willingness of the leadership to meet with me and work through these issues, the wisdom that has come from encounters with this and that, pastoral oversight, marriage counseling, the idea that they want a high responsibility on shepherding the flock well. That came in as a large strength of our church. And then finally, about 2 years ago, we started community groups, and it's been, unsurprisingly to me, an incredible success. Are there areas of opportunity there that we're going to look at? Yes, there are areas of opportunity in our community groups. But it's amazing that this is the one that overlaps, where we have so the strength is community groups. One of our opportunities is also something about community groups. And that's awesome because it means you're already going in the right direction. It's like getting a 15-yard head start on a 40-yard dash. Okay, so the community groups, sharing meals together, discussing the word, praying together, working in application, helping me move, etc., etc., etc. This is these groups of friendships and these relationships that form within our church have been extremely powerful. They have been effective, and people have been comforted, benefited, and sanctified in these community groups. So if you're a community group leader, thank you so much. We are going to partner with you to make that even better as we move forward this year, and we'll hear more about that next week. That is the high level overview. Again, these are the strengths of our church, and we're proud of these strengths. By the way, we are proud of these strengths, and Nothing that we do and focus on is going to be sacrificed. This is not going to be sacrificed on the altar of doing something else. Okay, we're not doing that at all. We're not going to move away from this to pursue this. We're going to focus down and really put feet to pavement in some of these things as we move forward. Okay, is that good? All right, let me, we're just a little bit over, so let me pray for us. And if you have any questions, please let me know. We'll look forward to talking about it more next time. Father, we are so grateful that despite challenges, you are committed to building your church. We are thankful that you do not leave us to just come up with things on our own, that you have indwelt us by your Spirit, that we can surround ourselves with wise people, that we can seek counsel. And we pray that you would make your name great, whatever happens here in RBC Nashville. We pray that we would be a church that if we disappeared from this city, everyone would notice in this community. We pray that we would take steps to make that the case. We pray that you would guard our hearts. We pray that you would guard our minds. We pray that we would be single-minded, looking to Christ, looking to the gospel, uniting around those things as we make disciples and push out and be a light in a dark place. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.